Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 394 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Charles Monk. Charles lives in a village in the south of England on the River Thames, and he is a retired small business owner. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
Sounds like a beautiful place to live. I've never been to England. I've never been over to Europe or anything, but I have deep roots all on the over the British Isles. So I'm imagining this like village from the storybooks. Is that what it's like?
It's got sort of traffic going through it, unfortunately, but it is. It's a nice village. It's got some coffee shops and some restaurants and some specialist butcher and a specialist cheese shop. And it's got a nice atmosphere and people are friendly. It's safe.
It sounds really nice. Sounds lovely. So, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
I saw the original Dr. Michael Mosley documentary on BBC Two, and that would have been in 2012.
That was when I know that 5-2 really took off in the UK at that time. And of course, you know, I had my eye on everything in the diet world back then. So I was aware of his documentary. I can't remember if I watched the whole thing or if I just watched parts of it, but it got me really, really excited about the idea of 5-2, which was really his creation based on Krista Verity's work with alternate daily fasting. So when you watched that documentary from Dr. Michael Mosley in 2012, what did you do at that time?
I found it most persuasive. And some of the guys I play golf with had also seen it. And a number of us said, well, this is good, so we're going to try it. So I tried it.
And when you tried it, what did that look like? Because I know that he, of course, the whole idea of fast and clean wasn't out there. And basically, for anyone who wasn't sure, what we're talking about, 5-2 was 2 days of 500 calories. Did you follow the 500 calorie? Yep. 2 days where you did 500 calories, but they could be like, there were no restrictions on those 500 calories. It was just like 500 calories, whatever. And then the five other days you eat normally. And that was the whole thing. So it was like kind of like alternate daily fasting, but 2 days and then 5 days of normal. But those 500 calories, like I said, could be any way at all. So how did that go?
Well, I decided to keep my calories. I wanted to keep my calories for the evening because I wanted to have a comfortable evening and not go to bed hungry or too hungry. So I would fast during the day. It didn't work out well at all. I wasn't doing the keto diet at the time. I was definitely insulin resistant. And I remember around 2 o'clock, I think it was like the second day I was doing it, I went to see my bank manager because I wanted to get a business loan. And I remember sitting there, and I really felt like I was just spacing out. And she said to me, the bank manager said to me, Charles, are you okay? And I said, well, no, not really. Would it be possible to have a cup of coffee and a biscuit? She said, yeah, of course you can. So she brought me a cup of coffee and a biscuit. So I had the biscuit and some coffee, and I felt much better after that. She then gave me a business loan on really good terms. So it ended up all good. But it wasn't working for me. I wasn't keto. I wasn't adapted. That's the word I'm looking for. I wasn't fat adapted, and I struggled.
Back then, we weren't even talking about being fat adapted. It wasn't until I started reading some of the stuff written by Dr. Mark Mattson, where he talked about flipping the metabolic switch. Those were his exact words in the title of the paper that helped me understand all that had to happen before we would flip that metabolic switch. So when you, second day, your body was definitely not fat adapted. I could see how it felt awful. And you didn't know to expect that either.
No, it was awful, and it was completely unsustainable.
So that was it. That was gone. Did any of your friends stick to it?
That was that. Yeah, that had to go.
Okay, so nobody really stuck to it. But that was the first time you heard about it. Now, at that time, did you have a lot of weight that you needed to lose? Had you been struggling with weight for a while?
Yes, I had some weight to lose. It had just crept on. Well, if I just go back a little bit, I was a child in the 1950s. Now, I know that makes me sound really old.
Not anymore. I was born in the 60s. Okay, barely. But the definition of old has changed as I have crept up there too, right?
So in the 1950s, we ate whole food. My mother would cook us three meals a day. And for breakfast, she would always give me a boiled egg with some soldiers.
So I don't know if in America you have the concept of soldiers, but we cut a piece of toast up into bits and then dip the buttered toast, and then dip the inverted commas soldiers into the egg. Now you don't have
that. No. Yeah.
So we have
that. I like that though. So you dip it into like a runny egg.
Exactly. So I'd have an egg for breakfast and we'd have lunch and then we'd obviously have supper. And if I were to say to my mother in the middle of the afternoon, Mummy, I'm hungry. Can I have something to eat? She would reply, no, darling, because it will spoil your supper.
Right. So no snacking back then.
We didn't do any snacking. And then for supper, we'd always have some fruit. And my mother would give us a teaspoon of cod liver oil and also rose hip syrup. Don't know if you've ever had that.
I have not.
No, it's quite sweet, but it's full of vitamin C.
That's what I was guessing. I was guessing vitamin C.
So it was healthy. And nobody back then was overweight. Just nobody in the 1950s.
And, you know, I think that goes to the snacking, right? You know, we didn't snack all the time. We didn't have snack time at school. We just were not eating constantly like these days.
So at age 11, I went away to boarding prep school and we were very active. And then I went on later to what we call public school boarding, but it's very confusing. It's actually private. We call it public. It's very confusing to Americans. But we were very, very active. We had good, sensible food, whole food, no snacking, three meals a day. And we were doing sport either three or four afternoons a week. And in the summer, we do cricket. And then one of the winter terms, we do soccer. And then the other winter term, we do rugby. And when we weren't doing formal sport, we were always kicking a ball around or playing with a ball of some, in some way. And that's the great thing. I mean, boarding schools don't suit everybody. There are children who don't make friends easily. And if they're not interested in sport, they can really struggle at boarding school and they become sick and their mothers have to come and take them away. But otherwise, it's a very good environment. You've always got a friends close by to go and maybe go to the cricket nets in the evening or just go and kick a football around. Always busy, always active. So I was always slim. All the way through, I was slim. And this really went. And once I was working and I enjoyed the gym, I played a lot of tennis. I went to Junior Wimbledon. I didn't win anything, but
that still sounds super impressive.
I attended and always, loving sport, loving ball games. And then I, later on, when I was working, when I was in the corporate world, I had access to a gym and I'd be in the gym. And I've always, ever since, I've belonged to a gym. I just like to be active. And I was slim all the way through, right the way through to the age of, I reckon it was 43, 43 years old. I then slowly began to put some weight on.
Yeah, I think that's how it happens for a lot of people, right? That middle age creep. Although, do we call 40 the 40s middle ages anymore? I don't know.
It's difficult. It's kind of changed a bit.
I don't know. I'm 54. I feel like I'm middle ages now. I guess it all depends on how long you want to live. If you want to live to 100, 50s would be middle age. But I think that's a pretty common story. You know, in somewhere around 40s, 50s, 30s, depending on when it is, the weight starts to creep up and you don't even really notice that it's happening. Is that kind of how it was for you?
And suddenly it just kept going. And then I got to, I'm just looking, I've made a couple of notes of my weight. Got to 2015, I'm at my heaviest weight in 2015.
And what was that heaviest weight for you?
245 pounds.
So you just didn't feel like yourself?
No, I was used to being, for the rest of my life, I've been slim. And it didn't feel good. And I also believe I was had become I wasn't diabetic, I was pre-diabetic. And when the, one goes in for tests with the doctor, and it came back and the line item for blood sugar, fasting blood sugar, would read normal. But it wasn't normal. It was a couple of points below being diabetic. And so you understand, Matt, maybe another 5% would have made me a diabetic. But up until then, I meant to be normal.
That's the whole problem with these ranges that are normal. And you can be like, oh, look, I'm all normal. But you're up on that upper end about to have a problem and it's time to take action. But you're like, well, everything's normal, but it's not optimal. I think that's the key. We need to start thinking about wanting to be more optimal, right?
Yeah. And just also this concept of sleepwalking into some really bad health issues. I think there should be red flags way earlier.
Oh, I think so too. That's one reason why I think it would be really nice if we knew what our fasting insulin levels were, because now that we understand that's a leading indicator, insulin starts to go up over the years before your blood sugar shows a problem. That's your insulin resistance is developing. But you don't know that because we're not measuring our insulin. So we don't know insulin resistance is, but then eventually the blood sugar inches up because your body is now resistant to the insulin. But if we knew our insulin was creeping up, we would know that was a red flag and it was time to take action. We're looking at the wrong thing, the thing that's easy to measure, blood sugar.
It was probably all there was, but there's correlation, isn't there? But the insulin is much better. I agree with you. It's a much.
So what did you do in 2015 at that point when you were at your heaviest weight?
Well, if I think of what I was eating at the time, and we've always eaten good food, I'd have toast and marmalade, buttered toast and marmalade for breakfast. What's not to like about that? And then I'd probably have an early lunch and I'd go and grab a sandwich and a packet of crisps and a bottle of water. But then in the afternoon, I'm really getting peckish around 3 o'clock and I go into our local store where there's a coffee shop and has a good internet, really good internet connection. And I'd have a freshly baked jam donut and a cup of coffee. And then I'm getting to the evening and I'm getting really hungry. So it's like every few hours I'm needing to feed the beast. And early in the evening, I'm getting really hungry quite early in the evening. And if my wife, Jennifer, was kind of, you know, she's busy with stuff, she's busy with business, and she's saying, you know, shall we eat a bit early tonight? She said, no, I can't eat till 7:15. Oh, okay, you know. But then I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. And I'm getting a bit sort of stressed because I'm hungry and I want to eat.
You were hangry. That's the, yeah, the word. You were like, I got to eat. And, you know, it makes sense if you think about what you were eating. You set yourself up for that blood sugar roller coaster all day long. The toast and marmalade, the sandwich and crisps, the donut and the coffee. That's just, you're giving your body those quick hits of blood sugar and then they're crashing back down. And your body's in storage mode when it comes to, like, you know, it's not able to tap into your fat. Because your insulin was, of course, I'm sure, high from all of that. So you were hangry, and it makes sense why.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10, to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. So good. Go to greenchef.com/ifstories50 and use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/ifstories50. And don't forget to use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months.
So that's how things went on. And I was getting concerned, and I was getting a few other health issues, getting some inflammation and a few other things too. So as time moved on, the 5-2 Dr. Mosley hadn't worked. So then, because I'm interested in health things the whole time, I'm inquisitive and I'm beginning to find out about things. And then in 2015, I stumbled into paleo.
Okay, that was, paleo was really hitting the high right around that time.
And it seemed obviously good, and it was all the logic of, well, this is how ancestrally we used to eat. Well, you know, that's good, obviously. And I would look at the foods that I would eat, and I began to be much more careful about what I was eating. And I would also, at that time, also began to get interested in podcasts. They were really taking off. And that's around 2016. And I would listen to Rob Wolf. That's the name you. And I would listen. He did a good podcast, but I sort of, that fell by the wayside. I'm not very good with bad language.
Oh, does he say bad language?
Yeah.
I've never listened to him because I had no interest in that.
He didn't do it earlier on. I don't know what it was, but that kind of turned me off a bit. So then 2016, I discover Jimmy Moore, and he did these podcasts with Dr. Jason Fung and Megan Ramos. They did a joint podcast together for a while.
They did that briefly. Now, do you know Jimmy Moore is now in jail?
I know that he's persona non grata.
Yeah, I don't want to get into details, but I just want to, just for anybody who's listening, I would not recommend this somebody you go out and follow.
No.
Anyhow, and I'm sure Jason Fung wishes he had not ever collaborated with him. Their podcast was pretty short-lived, but I followed him too back in the day. I followed Jimmy Moore through his low-carb work. He was like the most famous low-carber out there for a while with his podcast.
He was an early podcaster.
Yep. And I remember I wasn't listening to podcasts, but I was reading his blog and I was aware of all of his books.
He was a busy guy. And he also did this great podcast with a guy that he referred to. I can't remember his exact name. He referred to him as Doc Muscles. And he was based, he was an Arizona doctor based in Arizona. And they had this sort of, they did this thing and it was very informative, but it was also very entertaining. So, but then he became strange, and I think he had a separation from his wife. I don't know, but he became weird and started shouting.
I think he had trauma as a child. I mean, that's no excuse for what he did, and I'm not going to get into all of that, but we struggle based on, you know, our whole lives, and it's a very, very sad story, but it's a shame. But that's where you heard about fasting again, then, through his work and Jason Fung.
That's what I heard about fasting. Early on, he was a big faster, although he got pushed to the background a bit later on, but he was a big faster, and the keto stuff, and a lot of what he said was very sensible, but then it all went weird. But and then one moves on, of course, but then I'm beginning to get interested in the fasting and the keto. And keto is a segue into fasting, because you're fat adjusted, is that the right word?
Well, fat adapted, what we usually say. But yep, both the keto diet and fasting will help you become fat adapted, get you into ketosis. And of course, it depends, you know, if you're eating the keto diet, if you're not fasting, if you're just doing the keto diet, you're going to be burning the fat that you're putting into your body. With the keto diet, you're getting into ketosis. But if you're fasting, you're burning the fat that's already on your body. But they do work together to help you get into ketosis. You're exactly right.
Where does one stop and the other start, you know?
Exactly. Well, it just really depends where your body is creating those ketones. Is it when I'm fasting, I'm not putting anything in, obviously. So my body, if I'm going to create ketones, it can only be from stored fat. Whereas if you're drinking butter coffee and all of that, then your body's going to use that first, right?
I've got a question for you about fat burning. So today, for instance, I have green tea for breakfast, 2 mugs of green tea. I then had a black coffee. I then went and played golf this morning. So I played golf. Course was very damp, very wet, but I played anyway. I got out in the fresh air and we had to carry our clubs because it's too wet for trolleys. So I carried my clubs around the golf course and I will have done 16,500 steps and then carrying a full set of clubs as well today. So that's a big dose of exercise. And I've come home. I've only had two cups of black coffee. I've got home at 2 o'clock. And I've had a meal, very low-carb meal. I always do the low-carb little lunches. So I've had some homemade celery soup, which Laurie made a couple of days ago. It was completely delicious. And 2 fried eggs fried in olive oil. Okay, so that was my lunch. My question to you is, at what point do you think that I was in ketosis or even autophagy, bearing in mind taking a big dose of exercise?
That is a great question. And it actually is not possible to time it because there's so many factors. So let's think about our bodies and where our energy is. You know, we've got glycogen stored in our liver. We've got glycogen stored in our muscles, and our bodies can use that. As we're exercising, it can use the glycogen in our muscles. It can pull the glycogen out of our liver. Whenever the glycogen is depleted sufficiently, then your body has to flip over to fat burning. So if you're never putting any sugar in, you know, there's obviously your body's not going to be storing so much. But the whole premise of the keto diet is you're not putting those carbohydrates in. You're just putting in more fat. So that would be different. So a lot of it depends on what you're eating during your eating window. And just your body is going to use whatever fuel is available. It is going to use if you're putting fuel in, that's easy to use. It's going to use that fuel, whatever you're putting in at the time. If you're not putting fuel in, it's going to go to the glycogen, and then it'll slide its way over into burning fat and generating ketones. So when that happens does depend on like so many things. Metabolic health, again, the activity that you did, you know, that causes the glycogen to deplete. So if you're very, very active, you may flip that metabolic switch earlier in the day. Versus if you're having a more sedentary day and you ate a lot of food the day before, it may take longer to get through whatever you put in the day before. So it's just really going to vary. And it depends on how active you are, what you ate, how much glycogen is stored there, how long it takes to get through that. So many personal factors. So that's why those apps that have like, now you're burning this, and that those apps don't know. Those apps are just giving an estimate because I wish we had a little fuel tank. We knew what we were doing from time to time, but we don't. I can usually feel based on wearing a CGM and knowing how I feel. Like I can feel when my body is flipping over just, and I've had the confirmation from my CGM. I'll feel a few waves of hunger. Then I'll look and my blood sugar's trending down. And then it just stays steady. And then I can feel that ketosis kick in. So like I just, you know, have that little confirmation. It's cool. And it just depends. It might happen earlier depending on how active I was or what I ate the day before. So did that answer your question?
Yes. And it makes complete sense.
And you asked also about autophagy. And people are super confused about autophagy. Because, you know, we think of things as being on or off, right? And like the light switch is on, the light switch is off. So you might think of autophagy as on or autophagy as off, but that is not how autophagy works. Autophagy is more like a dimmer switch. Like it can ramp up or it can ramp down. Like if you're turning the lights up or turning the lights down. So we want to gradually turn that autophagy switch up, like the dimmer switch going up. So it's not like you're on or off. It's not like you're in autophagy or out of autophagy. And that's where same with those apps that might say autophagy begins. No, that's not how it works. So, and that leads a lot of confusion. The terminology, like when does autophagy begin, makes people think that there's an on switch, and that's not what it is. You know, as we get older and less metabolically healthy in general as a population, we see decreased autophagy, which leads to a lot of the problems in our bodies that come along with old age. But thanks to intermittent fasting and exercise increases autophagy, black coffee increases autophagy. Fasting, of course, increases autophagy. We ramp it up. So we don't want to have the decreased autophagy that comes with, you know, getting older. We want to keep it going. And I think that's what helps us to stay more youthful.
That's very good. And that's what we all want, isn't it? We want long life, but we want it in good health.
Exactly. All right. So you basically, at that point, if we go back a little bit, you were listening to the keto intermittent fasters. And so, you know, Jason Fung is among that crowd. So did you switch over to eating completely keto at that point?
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much.
And what year was that? Around 2016 or 2017?
2017. I was doing fine. And I can tell that, I mean, I know that because if I look back at holidays, I remember we had a holiday in the States. We went to New York for 4 nights, and then we went to Cape Cod for 5 nights. And I remember before going thinking, well, how am I going to manage this on holiday? You know, am I going to find food with all the food that's available in America? But of course, it was just fine, and I was just organized, and I'd have steak and salad. I didn't have to have the chips, and I'd have a burger, beef burger, and again, salad, you know, and some fish, good salad. And we went to, is it Provincetown in Cape Cod? It's like a big gay community. And we had lobster.
Oh, yum. Lobster in New England is just incredible.
And there was some, it came in a bun. And yeah, we had lobster rolls. And it was easy. I just discarded the roll. And I had some salad and some mayonnaise.
Right, you just had the lobster.
So all of that. You know, I was very much in the learning curve, and I was nervous. But it's not difficult. It's just not difficult to organize your food in a certain way. You don't have to have chips with everything, and so that's how I know it was 2017.
And that sounds about right, because that was, you know, the Complete Guide to Fasting came out in mid kind of 2016. And that was when the Fung More podcast was going on and people were really doing keto and fasting. Were you doing fasting at the time or just keto?
No, I was getting into fasting and I was doing keto. And then keto, it turned into fasting just around a little bit later than that time. But around that time as well, I began to do fasting. And I stumbled onto yours and Melanie's
podcast. Oh, yep. That was 2017, and that's when we started the intermittent fasting podcast. We started that in 2017, so you were an early listener of our podcast.
Yes, I was, and just sort of, I like to have something in my ear the whole time, or when I'm driving, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm interested, and there's so much information around now, but you've got to be selective, and I'm very selective about who I listen to. And I've really got a little bit of a list here of my current podcast people.
So well, I'd like to know. Tell me who you're listening to now.
Okay. Well, I do listen to Joe Rogan.
Uh-huh.
But I'm selective about the episodes I listen to.
That makes sense.
You know, the fight stuff. And there's a lot of bad language. But depends who he's interviewing. He can be as good as gold. And other people, there's every other word is F. And so... And I think one of the best podcasts I've ever heard is when he interviewed Max Lugavere.
I haven't heard that one. I don't even – and what is Max?
Max Lugavere. He's got a podcast and I'm just trying to think. I've got it right here. I'll tell you what it's called. Max Lugavere.
What's his topic? I've definitely heard of him, but I can't place what he does.
The Genius Life, it's called.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yep.
Genius Life, Max Lugavere. When Joe Rogan interviewed him, it was a fabulous episode. Just fantastic. And there's other people I've met through Joe Rogan. Rhonda Patrick is one.
Do you ever listen to Diary of a CEO?
Yes, I have. A couple of people have recommended it to me. I did listen to one. It just didn't jump out at me. I need to go back and...
That one is another good one. You mentioned that you like to, you know, listen to Joe Rogan with certain guests. That's the same thing with Diary of a CEO. Like he has guests on that are just fascinating and they get you really hooked in and listen. Like I just he interviewed somebody about menopause and, you know, he's a very curious guy, the host of that podcast. And so I was like, I listened to the one on menopause, but I don't listen to all of them either. He had Tim Spector on. And that was a good one. Do you listen to the Zoe podcast at all?
That's on my list here, Zoe.
Yay, Zoe's great.
I'm a huge fan of, in particular, Tim Spector.
I love Tim Spector.
I think he's just so, he did one on gut biome a few months back, and it was so good. And he just tells it just sensibly and in a way that we can understand and relate to. So big fan of Tim Spector. So Peter Attia, he's one I've got from Joe Rogan, can get very technical, particularly around the exercise stuff. My criticism would be that these exercise podcasts that he talks about, they're very technical, but they're really aimed at elite athletes.
Right, the people who are trying to optimize at these very high levels.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's never going to be me. I want to be simple. Yeah, I just want to eat and move my body and enjoy my life.
And then Chantal Ray.
Yep, I'm connected to her. I was on her podcast. She's been on mine.
Yes, I heard that. Lisa Fisher.
I don't know her.
I bet you do.
I might. I know a lot.
She talks about you.
Okay. Lisa Fisher. I thought you. Okay, yeah, Lisa Fisher. I've misunderstood. Lisa. Yeah, Lisa Fisher. Absolutely. Oh yeah, she's a friend of mine. I thought you said Alicia. That's where I got confused. Yeah, Lisa. I definitely know Lisa Fisher. She's awesome. I've met her in person.
Yeah, she seems lovely, and she's full of personality.
She is.
And so I mean, you know, I just enjoy listening to her. And then Huberman Lab.
Definitely got some interesting topics. So I can see you are. You said you were inquisitive, and that's what it sounds like. And me too. So definitely check out Diary of a CEO and look at the different episodes and see what might be interesting. You might not like all of them, but it pulls you in. He asks such interesting questions. That's what I like about him because he really digs into things. And it's not for CEOs. It started off as his own podcast, but then the interviews are so interesting. So you mentioned that you were keto in 2017 and bringing in the fasting. Are you still keto?
I'm keto-ish.
Okay. You know, I get it. I get the ish.
My lunch today, my soup and my eggs. And I mean, most people would have a fresh roll with their soup.
I would. You know, I would. Yeah.
I have two fried eggs with fried in olive oil. So I'm keto-ish. But, well, I've got some red lines with nutrition.
Okay. What are they?
One of the red lines is nothing sweet will touch my lips, be it from sugar or be it from artificial sweeteners. I just decided early, because I used to eat chocolate every day. I used to, after supper, I'd tuck after a glass of red wines, a bar or sometimes two bars of chocolate. So a bit of a sweet tooth going on there. My mother certainly had a sweet tooth. So I just decided now that the sugar stuff is addictive, but you can stop eating it and then you just forget about it.
And I think some brains have more of a struggle with that than others. Like different things light up our brains differently. And like for me, it's dairy. I love dairy. It lights up my brain, makes my brain super happy. Sugar, I can have a little bit of something with sugar and not feel the need to keep going back. So I really think that it's a matter of knowing ourselves. And, you know, you've heard me talk about cheesy, crunchy things. Those are like a bag of Cheetos, a bag of Doritos, cheese puffs. I have no off switch, so I shouldn't have those in my house or eat them frequently. That doesn't mean I'll never have them again. I don't have any red lines. My red line is if food is not delicious, I don't eat it. That's my red line. But sugar and artificial sweeteners, there are definitely people that need to have that red line. And I acknowledge that and accept it. And it's all about knowing yourself, right?
Yes. There's no nutritional value in sugar. Fructose, even worse. Fructose is a nightmare. Anyway, so that's one red line. The other one is seed oils. And I just incredibly go to a lot of trouble to avoid them, which is why when I go out, I avoid chips because they're going to be cooked in seed oils inevitably. And when I go out, we go out for breakfast sometimes, and I'll have, I will have a piece of bread and some toast, sourdough, preferably with two fried eggs on. Okay, that would be my breakfast. And I will ask them to cook my eggs in either olive oil or butter.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I remember back in the day, we used to go to Waffle House. You ever been to a Waffle House?
No.
Well, I think they started off in the southern United States, and I don't really know how far they spread. I don't know where all they are in the United States, but they would cook the eggs in this like buttery looking liquid that I don't know. I mean, it was an oil, some kind of oily, buttery looking, but it was liquid. And I can't even imagine what that was, but it does not sound delicious to me now. But those eggs are cheesy, those cheesy eggs cooked in whatever that oil was. Yeah, I don't eat them anymore, but you're right. Butter is a much better choice. We know, our bodies know what to do with that.
So the seed oils, try to avoid them as much as possible. And the third one is I try to avoid like rice and flour and...
more processed grains and the starchy things.
Grains. I try to avoid grains. I don't always succeed. Sometimes I'll have a piece of toast if I'm having some fried eggs. But generally I try and avoid grains.
So you're grain choosy. It's not a red line, but you're choosy about it.
Yeah. But potatoes I eat. I cannot not eat potatoes. And we have potatoes most evenings.
Well, hooray for potatoes. You know me. They just are so satisfying to my body. Like I can eat potatoes and just feel so full and satisfied. And like it's such a good feeling.
Big potato is it's a whole food.
It is. And I like to start from a potato that's a whole potato at my house, and then I do something with it. No matter what I do with it, whether I boil it and mash it, or whether I roast it in the oven, tossed with olive oil, whatever I do with that potato is going to be delicious and have nutrients. I don't peel them. Do you peel your potatoes at home?
No.
Yeah, I never peel them. No matter what I'm doing with it, I don't peel them. I just leave the peel on, and maybe because I'm lazy, who knows? But also, I think that's where a lot of the nutrients are. So.
Agreed.
So tell me about your fasting. What sort of fasting approach do you follow these days?
Well, these days, I kind of feel that I'm in maintenance. I feel that I've done my stint. I've done my one meal a day, and I've done it for more than a year, a couple of years. I've done mostly one meal a day, and I've really worked hard at that, and I've lost a chunk of weight. And I reverse other health issues. And now I know that my blood sugar control is good. I just know it. I used to measure it a lot. I used to measure it almost every other day. It was a sort of bit obsessive, and my ketones and that my fingers are full of blood, you know, bloody holes.
You're like a pincushion.
Because I know that my blood sugar control, if I can play golf without eating any food, sometimes I played earlier today because of our podcast, but generally I will play at 11:30 in the morning and I'll go all the way through, and sometimes I'll come home for supper and I can play really well, and I'm very focused and I'm not suffering. People I play golf with, they're eating all the time. So we have breakfast, we get to the halfway hut, and having bacon, it's a bit of an institution, our halfway hut. There have been bacon sandwiches or sausage sandwiches, and they do homemade cakes and homemade, and everybody's eating. Well, I'm just having a cup of black coffee, thank you very much.
So if you can do that, you know you're metabolically healthy. If you can golf in the fasted state and you're not like, I got to eat, then you know you're metabolically healthy and you don't need to measure anything. I am 100% with you on that. There is no need to know what your blood sugar number is doing if you feel amazing. And same with ketones. No need to know what that is if you're feeling good.
And these guys, having had their breakfast, having had a bacon sandwich, they're then taking snack bars. And they get halfway around the second nine holes, and they're needing another snack. I mean, it's completely ridiculous.
On the flip side, if you need to eat before the halfway hut, at the halfway hut, after the halfway hut, you are not in metabolic good health.
No, you are not. And I played with people who are diabetic. I played with this chap who was, bless him, he was very, very diabetic. But he also had some other issues. His kind of memory was completely, pretty much shot. So it was like, but he was a lovely guy. We'd sort of be playing. For some reason, I was ended up having to play with him. I don't know why that happened, but it was quite it was like having another child with one.
That's really sad, though. And he probably had the frequent eating.
He's eating all the time. He'd say, also, the other thing was he'd never remember any scores, all right? So I'd have to do the scoring for him. Well, that wasn't a problem. But also, he didn't see the ball properly. So he'd hit a ball. He'd have no idea where it was. So I'd be looking, I'd be keeping an eye on his ball as well. And then it was all, I didn't mind doing it. And I was pleased to be helpful. But it was quite distracting from my own game in ways.
And it's just really sad to think about, because he's probably been told to eat frequently to keep his blood sugar steady, when really that's causing the problem. And that's really, really sad. So you mentioned that you have reversed a lot of health issues. You're feeling great. Tell me how much weight you lost.
I was at 245 pounds and I went down to 199 pounds.
Awesome. And so you're feeling good. Is that the weight where you just feel really good in your body now?
That's my fighting weight, 200 pounds, 199 pounds. But I haven't stayed there. I kind of got stuck. I haven't put a lot of weight back, because you can see my lifestyle is, I'm very conscious of, if I gave up drinking, that would be even better, of course. So I've kind of settled on a weight now that I've settled on 210 pounds. And I've been there for a while, probably 2 years. And it doesn't really seem to want to move off that. I've got a little bit of a belly, what we would call in England a beer belly, but actually in my case, it's a gin and tonic belly.
You know, here's where we make those trade-offs, right? I've learned from my body that if I went 100% whole food, plant-based, low fat, I could get thinner than I am now. But after experimenting with that, I don't want to do that. I don't want to live that way. So I'm happy with the size that my current lifestyle allows me to maintain. And I think that's where we have to make those choices. You enjoy the gin and tonic. You enjoy the rhythm that you have with fasting, the foods that you're eating. You don't want to give things up to be a little bit smaller than you are now.
We find it really difficult. I'm 70 years old, and considering that I'm 70, I mean, I'm fitter than an awful lot of people. I mean, I carried my clubs around.
Right. I know what you mean.
The golf course today, and that's not bad going. And I'm reluctant to make, I've got a partner, Laurie, and we enjoy to sit down. I don't know if it's just an English thing, and we have gin and tonic in the evening. My father drank gin and tonic. He would
right.
come
that
home
is
from
a very
the,
English
a,
thing.
A very busy corporate job. He'd come home from the office and he'd have a gin and tonic, and he'd have another gin and tonic, and he would refer to it as his medicine.
I really do. I think that's a very British beverage. And you know, it's again, you're choosing a lifestyle that makes you happy and brings you joy. And we don't want to give things up that give us joy. Like I mentioned, cheese. Cheese brings me joy. And could I be more optimal without it? Probably, but I wouldn't feel as much joy. So yeah, I've decided I don't need to be optimal. I need to be happy. So we all have to figure out what that is for us.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Last week, we went for 4 nights without having any alcohol. I just decided that we've got to get a grip when Laurie completely got to get a grip with this. No, we're drinking too much. So we went for 4 evenings without drinking any alcohol. I was as miserable as sin.
You enjoy it.
I sat there and I'm thinking, when am I going to be able to go to bed and put myself out of my misery? Have you watched The Friends, the sitcom The Friends?
Oh, yeah. Chad and I are actually watching it through again.
There's a character there called Fun Bobby.
Oh, yeah. I remember the Fun Bobby. Yeah, he was fun. And then he stopped drinking and he wasn't fun.
He was the life and soul of the party, and he came in.
I remember Fun Bobby.
On me, and then they took him away to a ski lodge, and he sat there and like, oh, my aunt's not very well, and he was as well. That's what I am. I'm Fun Bobby. If I'm just as miserable as sin.
Well, that's so interesting because I have realized I am just as fun with zero alcohol, which that's just my personality, I guess. But I haven't been drinking since June. I haven't had anything to drink. And it's because of sleeping and my body not clearing alcohol well. So it's all of those things. Like with you and sugar, it's me with alcohol. I feel better without it. But I am just as fun. I'm fun, Jen, with or without alcohol. So that's a good thing. So it's just all a matter of how our bodies respond to things and what works well for us. But I'm all about finding the joy, finding what gives you pleasure that doesn't impact you negatively so that you can live your happiest life. Because I think being mentally happy is part of being healthy.
Yes. And that's one of my pillars. I've got these 5 pillars of good health.
Oh, I want to hear what they are.
Number 1, time-restricted eating. Number 2, nutrition. These are not in no particular order. Nutrition. Number 3, exercise. Number 4, sleep. Number 5, companionship.
Those are fabulous. I think every single one of us should have those 5 pillars, honestly. Time-restricted eating. Yep. Exercise. Well, you said nutrition next, but we got to nourish our bodies. Exercise. We need to move our bodies. Sleep, essential, and companionship. Yeah, that's a great, great list, Charles.
And as one becomes older, the companionship can easily sort of fall by the wayside. And people can become, particularly if they lose a partner, They had become very lonely, and I think it's well known, it's extremely damaging to their well-being.
It's really easy just to cozy up at home and never seek out interactions with people, especially these days. So that's why I go to my trivia once a week with my trivia gals. And you're right, we have to push ourselves to stay out there in society and have friends. And it's so easy to just stay home. But you're playing your golf and you're interacting with people.
Yeah, that's right. Can I just go back to the podcast for a moment?
Oh, no.
Now, I don't want to give you a big head, but I have to tell you that my go-to podcast is yours.
Well, thank you.
It's the first one that, as it comes up, so I go to it. And I enjoy your guests. And they're all different, and that's interesting. And your information is just sensible. You're down to earth. You're sensible. What you're saying makes obvious sense, and I understand it all, and I know that it's good. But you're also, you're very nice as well. You're nice with people. You come across as being caring. And you chat about your family, and that's nice. So it's like a package. It's a very nice package.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. And I do care about all of my guests and my community and everybody who's listening. I just want everyone, I genuinely, and this is why someone becomes a teacher, right? Because we care about people. But I genuinely want people to find success with intermittent fasting in a way that they can live a lifestyle that makes them feel happy and good in their bodies, aging better than they would have without it. I mean, that's it. Enjoy your life. Find the freedom to live in a way that makes you feel good. And that's it. And also accepting that everybody is going to have, it's going to look different for everybody. And we all make different choices. And we even make different choices at different seasons of our lives as things go on. And just empowering people to trust themselves to know. That's my mission. And I'm grateful to get to do it. And thank you for saying all that, Charles. I'm going to keep doing it. You're episode 394. One day it'll be like episode 1,394, right?
Yeah. I'll be listening to it. I'm still upright.
It'll be, who knows when it'll be, we'll still be doing it. But yeah, I love bringing the podcast and I love talking to people, like I said, and hearing how intermittent fasting has changed their lives. And it's helped you to live a very different life than you were living back before you discovered it. So tell me some of your non-scale victories.
Well, the most important one is my blood sugar control. That was a big problem and is now completely under control. And I also believe that, well, when you measure health, when you measure your health, these measurements, I believe that the fasting blood sugar stroke insulin, fasting insulin, I believe that is the most important measure of good health.
I think it certainly can tell us a lot, right? You're exactly right. Those are important things to keep your eye on.
The second most important one is blood pressure. I believe blood pressure is important. Cholesterol, no, not interested in it. It's a very complicated subject.
It is complicated. Yes, so many different opinions out there. It's hard to even know. It's definitely not simple.
It's not simple. It's not as simple as HDL's good, LDL's bad. It's not that simple. Last time I was in with my doctor, he mentioned the word statins to me. I said, I just shook my head. I said, no, thank you. No, thank you. Because the doctors here, all my friends, people I play golf with, and they're all on statins. And I say to them, why are you on statins? Of course, the doctor said I should be.
It's a very complicated topic. And we could really, I'm not a cholesterol expert by any means. There's a guy that I've found on YouTube, and he talks about something called ApoB. I'm not well versed in that, but that's a good thing to keep your eye on, that it's meaningful. I don't know a ton about that, like I said, but just, you know, there's so many things to look at with our health and so many different markers.
So blood sugar control, sorted. I also used to have seriously bad acid reflux, seriously bad. And I never really understood what the triggers were, but I was on double dose medication for that.
Well, that is remarkable. I think being overweight can cause that to be a problem in general. Just as we lose the weight, we lose that pressure. So we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started in like 1 minute?
I would say, don't be too hard on yourself. Celebrate small victories. So an example might be if I go and have a cup of coffee at our coffee shop, then it's a patisserie as well. And there's all these cakes here, and I just walk straight over. I order my coffee, and I look at them, and I go, no, thank you. I'll drink my coffee. And that's a little victory for me. And every day is a challenge, and every day is a new dawn and a new challenge. That's all I would say.
I love that. Well, Charles, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story today.
It's been good. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's jen@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Reyes Sehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Once upon a beat. Remember those stories and fables that would capture your imagination and you couldn't wait to see how they would unfold? And now, when you read them as an adult, you think, some of these old tales could use a fresh spin. We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remix, and reimagine for the kids in your life today. Join me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as we spin up new tales in the New Kids and Family Podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a jam-packed, music-filled weekly party where hip-hop and fables meet. It's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts. Once Upon a Beat.